Well, hey there, come on in. We're just about to start. Welcome to My Wife the Dietitian, a fun weekly podcast about nutrition and healthy lifestyle. I'm Rob, and together with my wife Sandra, we invite you to join us on this informative and entertaining journey through the complex world of healthy eating.
Join us each week as we strive to help you with transforming your overall health and relationship with food through up-to-date, evidence-based nutrition information. The Blue Zones are five longevity hotspots around the world where people are thriving into their hundreds. In these communities, including Okinawa, Japan, Icaria, Greece, Sardinia, Italy, Nicoya Peninsula, Costa Rica, and Loma Linda, California, researchers have found that people live longer and better. Well, what's their secret? Part of their lifestyle success has been linked to diet. So today we talk to Liz Weiss all about the longevity diet.
Enjoying the show? You can help others find it and enjoy it too by giving us a 5-star rating or review. If you feel like reaching out to us with a question or comment, you can send us an email at mywifetherd@gmail.com. And don't forget to visit our website at mywifethedietitian.com, as well as our social media pages. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Enjoy the show. Welcome to My Wife the Dietitian. Hello, Sandra.
Hey, Rob.
How are you?
I'm excited about our interview with Liz Weiss, dietitian today.
Absolutely.
She's been a media dietitian for over 3 decades. She started in TV, like with CNN and in radio and many other spots over the last 30 years.
Wow.
And she is also a graduate of culinary arts, which makes her a professional chef and a dietitian, which is a great combination.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And Liz has a podcast and a blog, and her recipes are so delicious and nutritious, lots of flavor and goodness. And her website is called Liz's Healthy Table. So today we're talking about the longevity diet, how to eat like a centenarian. And we take a page out of the Blue Zones. And if anyone's ever heard of the Blue Zones, that is what we're going to be touching on today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Blue Zones. I think there's 5 in the world, right? And they're all people who are living into their hundreds in good health. And we look at, well, what diet elements they have in common.
Yeah.
And there's quite a few. So we sort of go over that and just some lifestyle things. And yeah, it's really interesting.
Yeah. And yeah, we do touch on 4 tips to eat like a centurion.
There you go. All right. Well, let's cut to it. We'll get Liz out here and she can give us everything we need to know about living a long life and being healthy.
Sounds good. We're here with Liz Weiss today. And Liz, please tell our listeners who you are and who you help in your work.
Well, I am a registered dietitian and I live in the Boston area. I've been a dietitian for a long time, and I'm a little bit unusual in that I have spent most of my career working in media. I would say I was probably one of the first media dietitians in the country. I had a job at CNN. I'm going to give you the year, and then you guys can do the math, but I worked there from 1987 to 1992. A nutrition producer, and then I was a correspondent. And so I started my career in media, in traditional media, back in the day, as we say. And then I've been doing a million different things between now and, you know, back then and today. I worked for some local TV stations in Boston because I relocated back up to the New England area. And I write for magazines. Currently, I'm writing for Today's Dietitian magazine. I have a website called Liz's Healthy Table where I have lots of recipes and a blog and a podcast, which is on break right now, but I've been podcasting for a long time. My show's called Eat, Drink, Live Longer. And gosh, I have 2 grown boys. One is 28. He's getting married in June, and one is 25. He's a school teacher. And so, you know, I'm at a different phase in my life where I've been an empty nester for a while, and my focus has shifted from family nutrition, which was really my online platform for many years, to more of a longevity focus, because I'm really excited about helping people eat a healthy diet to live longer and to feel better. You know, people are always like, I don't want to live to 100. No way. Because, you know, I'm not going to feel horrible. I'm like, no, you know, you want to live longer, but you want to live better. That's the secret.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So actually, that's great because you've led into my first question. What should people eat for longevity?
Well, I know we don't have 17 hours to chat about this, and we could really talk literally, well, 24. We could talk all day about this. But eating for longevity is really, at the end of the day, a little bit easier than you may think. You know, I like to take a page from the blue zones when I'm talking about eating for longevity. And we can get to let me just tell you about the blue zones. The blue zones are five areas around the world where researchers have identified what they call these longevity hotspots. These are places where people are living into their hundreds and they're living a very vital life. And so in the blue zones, which would include Okinawa, Japan, and Ikaria, Greece, Sardinia, Italy, the Nicoya Peninsula in Costa Rica, and Loma Linda, California, these five zones are places where people have this very vital lifestyle. They eat a very healthy diet and they live longer. And so I like to kind of pull from the tenets, the habits, the lifestyles of the blue zones when I'm talking to people about what to eat for longevity.
Yes, I love that. I totally am on the same page with you here. And this is why we got you on here, because I heard your podcast. I listened to a few episodes and I was like, oh yeah, I have to reach out to Liz. This is awesome. I'm just so stoked that this is, you know, you really practice this and you spread the good word about this. And it's such a emerging science and interesting. I mean, there was a documentary on it. I think it really brought to light and increased the visibility of the whole idea of the blue zones. Before the documentary, I'd learned about it years ago. I'm sure you did too, Liz, just as a dietitian, keeping our finger on the pulse of emerging science and different information that's coming out. And this is like so kind of, this changes a lot, I feel like, because there was always such a focus on, you know, just preventing diabetes and chronic disease and maybe aging too. But this whole thing with blue zones is just so interesting, you know, to actually see there's these five places in the world where people do live in good health into older age. And so it's just, yeah. And I don't know, like I've heard some things recently that a lot of those places are changing just with the North American lifestyle and diet coming in, except for Loma Linda in California, because they are their own separated community that they continue to practice the way they've been practicing for eons. So anyways, that's just an aside.
No, but and it is interesting. I mean, in Loma Linda, they are vegetarians. They're the only blue zone where they eat a strictly vegetarian diet. But, you know, in these blue zones, and I will agree with you that they are sadly changing because our world is so globalized and our world is changing. But all of us can really draw from the blue zones and how they eat and how they live, and we can integrate it into our own lives. You know, I don't live in Greece, you know, hey, it would be nice too. It's beautiful there, but we can borrow. And so there's these tenets of the blue zones. And if you just tease out the diet pieces from the blue zones, these are things we can all do. I mean, I'll just share a few. So for example, in the blue zones, they eat what's called a plant slant diet, which means it's mostly plant-based. Now, in the spirit of full disclosure, I will tell you I am not a vegan. I am not a vegetarian. I am a dietitian who loves to eat and I love to cook and I love a wide variety of foods. But most of my diet is plant-focused. So when we look at that plant slant or that plant focus, again, these are things we can all do. So it's a diet rich in colorful fruits and vegetables. It's a diet rich in pulses. Pulses are beans, lentils, dry peas, and chickpeas. It's a diet rich in nuts and whole grains, all that good fiber, lots of plant protein. And so, you know, they eat meat, but they eat small amounts of meat. They eat dairy, small amounts. They eat eggs. They eat seafood. And, you know, when you eat seafood, I will say, I'll put a plug in for the fatty seafood, the fatty fish, things like salmon, rich in omega-3. And when you look at this plant slant diet, we know it's rich in vitamins and minerals and antioxidants and fiber. These are all these nutrients that help to promote good health. So that's the first tip. And the second one is to eat beans every day. And people are like, eat beans every day. How am I going to do that? Well, half a cup is the magic number, half a cup of beans. For convenience, I am a big fan of canned beans because very inexpensive, convenient, and really versatile because you can get black beans and chickpeas, pinto beans, kidney beans, cannellini beans. There's so many, and they are colorful. Think about beans. I've just listed several beans, and they're all different colors. And beans have fiber and magnesium, which is important for so many body functions, muscle and nerve function, blood glucose control, blood pressure regulation, bone health, folate, good for head-to-toe health. And so beans are great, really versatile too. And we can get more into some examples of that. And then a few other things. In the Blue Zones, they honor the 80-20 rule. And what that means is that you eat until you are 80% full. And then you're like, I'm done. We don't have to eat every day like it's Thanksgiving. We all know how we feel at Thanksgiving, right? We tend to overeat. And no, it's 80% full. And you're comfortable. You're eating mindfully. You're eating slowly. And finally, number four, you're eating meals together. So we're eating mindfully because we're eating with friends. We're eating with family. We have this community thing going on, this camaraderie. And when we eat together, so much great research on the benefit of eating meals with your family, with your friends, with community. We eat more fruits and veggies. We drink less soft drinks. We eat less, I think maybe was it pizza? I forgot the other stat, but so many benefits for body, for soul when we eat meals together. And so eating meals together, eating till you're comfortably full, eating beans every day, eating more plants. We can do this. All great for longevity.
You know, the one thing we've seen the Blue Zone documentary and it's incredible. And the one thing I noticed that we can add to this is the things that they're not doing. And that's, they're not on social media getting all caught up in the latest fad diets. They're not eating processed food. They're not even, they probably don't even have processed food available to them given some of the places these people live. It's a bit remote, some of the places. So there's no 7-Elevens on every corner and McDonald's and that sort of thing. But it just seems to be a more simplified way of living. And the focus, like you said, is on community. It's on eating good food that they've grown in their garden and just real life. And so I think that's important to mention too. I think it's they're just not exposed. And I believe that's what's changing is they are becoming more exposed to those things now. And so some of the old ways that they were are starting to change because the McDonald's are showing up and the pressures from the outside world, so to speak.
No, I mean, I'll agree with that. You know, it's interesting, you know, you mentioned processed foods. Of course, processed foods get a bad rap. I will just sort of put on my dietitian hat and say that canned beans are processed and orange juice and milk, you know, those are quote unquote processed. So when we're choosing convenient foods or so-called processed foods, we can be very intentional with that. And we can say, okay, I know I'm supposed to aim to eat half a cup of beans every day. I'm going to use canned beans because they're so convenient. And, you know, if I'm going to drain and rinse them to wash away 40% of the sodium if sodium's a concern. And so I'm going to use those. And if you go to the Blue Zones website, you know, they'll tell you, yep, canned beans, great, if that's the route you want to go, because we want you to get beans into your diet. And so that can be used in a really great intentional way to say, okay, I'm going to have black bean soup for dinner tonight. I'm going to saute up some bell peppers. I'm going to add a can of black beans. I'm going to add some salsa. Yep, it's coming from a jar. That's okay. Nice. I read the labels and I compared and I got the lowest sodium one out there. I'm going to add some seasonings, maybe some chili powder and cumin. And now I'm going to top it with diced avocado and some shredded cheese and some fresh cilantro. And boom, I have this great dinner that took me just a few minutes to make, where I was drawing upon ingredients that I found all throughout the supermarket. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
we could totally use those to our advantage and still, in our modern crazy busy lives, stick to those great eating strategies, you know, that we just talked about.
Yeah, love it. You're making me hungry, by the way. That sounded incredible.
And I do have, FYI, I do have that black bean soup recipe on my website. I'll send it to you if you want to give your folks a link.
Absolutely.
It's such an easy recipe and I love it.
Nice. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, that'd be great. And yeah, I know. And it's funny because there's some, you know, there's diets that come and go. You've been a dietitian for many years, many decades. I have too. And I've seen like every diet under the sun come and go. And recently the paleo, or I think it's that one that basically says no lectins, no beans. And like, because of the lectins. And it's like, what? This is not our problem in our society. Lectins is not an issue because nobody's eating beans.
Right, more beans. Exactly.
That's
so
funny.
It's like, we're not getting them if you cook them, if you eat them like from a can. You know, basically, if you're going to consume beans, you have to cook them so that they're consumable. And so you break down the lectins. But yeah, that's probably something you've heard and kind of roll your eyes at too, eh?
I do. And, you know, these diets where we, you know, I don't bash people for eating different diets because every person is different, right? Our culture is different. Our taste preferences, our budgets. And I'm cool with that. And I embrace that. But when we start to restrict, and our daily eating becomes a science project and a stressful endeavor,
totally.
It takes all the fun out of it, right? And when you take the fun and the joy out of eating, I don't think you're in any better shape. So let's remember to just eat for enjoyment and with community and, you know, buy the foods that make us feel, you know, like special and fun and, you know, memories and don't beat yourself up. You know, there's a lot of healthy ways to eat that don't require restriction.
And I love that idea of, I mean, definitely using like frozen vegetables or frozen berries or different like frozen fruit in a bag or canned beans, you know, the bag salads, any way to make eating more whole foods easier. Like that is the key. And like to get, you know, good food on the table at dinner time for your family and yourself. I mean, this is there's lots of modern conveniences that have like processed in quotes our food, but in a way that it's still the whole food that we're using, but it makes it a bit easier to get that food in. So I have so many clients that they, you know, the bag salad is something that they will eat and their family will eat and it won't go bad. But if they bought all the ingredients separate, like the head of lettuce and all the different vegetables, and then it just sits in the fridge because they don't have time to ever cook, you know, to actually prepare it and it goes bad, you know, it's better to eat the bag salad and get that those veggies in and in a way that works for your family in terms of their, you know, your day-to-day weekly living and figure out what works. So I love that message that you just mentioned, just everyone's different in everybody's lifestyle and how they can, you know, how it works for them in terms of preparing food and cooking and eating together. I think that is the magic touch. That's really important. Our society's losing the family dinner table is becoming an endangered species almost, you know, it's like getting piled up with newspapers and everything else and never used for actual eating together. So we've done a few other podcast episodes on eating together and the importance of just family meals at all stages and ages. It's I think in the blue zones, that's a big part of their the connection they feel with their culture and their community is, you know, they share meals together and eat together. And it's such an enriching experience. So I hope people are getting that message because I think it's really important. But yeah, no, this is great. I love talking to you all about the blue zones and longevity foods. Is there any other questions that you have, Rob?
Well, I was just going to make a comment on some of the things you're saying there. I think with the blue zones, from what we've seen too, is there's almost a respect for the whole food process, the growing, the eating, the preparing, the community gathering to celebrate the food, you know. And I think we're lacking that a lot in, you know, our current North America, we'll say, day-to-day hustle bustle. It's just like, okay, grab a quick burrito on the way from A to B and, you know, whatever we can find quick. That's kind of our culture almost when it comes to food. We don't have the same kind of, you know, other than maybe Christmas and Thanksgiving and Easter, you know, where we feel we have to have this big celebration. You know, it seems in the Blue Zones, every day is like that. And they remove all that other hustle bustle from their life in order to focus on and respect the whole process of eating. And I think that makes a huge difference.
Right, right. And, you know, I do think that we have to adapt that to our lives, right? Because
totally,
you know, yeah. I live in a city and I have one supermarket in my neighborhood, Trader Joe's, and I walk there like every other day, which is great. And I don't have to get in my car, but I have to buy whatever they have. And I can remember recently I bought some Brussels sprouts and you're like, yes, dietitian Brussels sprouts, but they were in a bag. That's how they sell them, pre-bagged and kind of pre-washed and whatever. So I shot a little video. I shared it on my TikTok and somebody commented and said, I cannot believe you would buy Brussels sprouts out of a bag. That's not sustainable and this and that. Mm-hmm. Well, of course, I commented back and I said, well, actually, you know, I walked there. I didn't drive. For all I know, that plastic is made out of biodegradable materials. I don't know for sure what Trader Joe's did, you know, how they created the bag. But the point is that this is my supermarket. This is what I have mm-hmm. access to. So mm-hmm. if that's what you have access to and you're getting that veggie on the table and you're sharing that meal with friends, family, et cetera, then mm-hmm. you're a winner. You know, don't let mm-hmm. anybody tease you about that plastic bag it came in. That should not be a barrier, right?
Exactly.
We're so quick to judge. We got to work with what we got and do the best we can do. You got to take that very first step.
It kind of leads me into my next point too, which is there's so much information and misinformation on the internet and just out there in the world these days that people don't know what to do. And nutrition is especially bad with that because everybody thinks they're an expert. And so
yes.
case in point, your Brussels sprouts, you think you're doing a good thing, but then somebody has a reason why it's bad. Right. And that's with every single diet. There's good information and bad information. Every single idea, every single food, you know, beans are good for you. No, they're not because they have lectins. And so people are left standing going, what do I eat? I don't know what's left. You know, there's nothing left that I can do. I'm doing everything wrong. So it's, you know, it's unfortunate, but that's kind of the way it is.
I know you have to ignore it a little bit, I think, sometimes and
yeah.
keep going back to the basics and just say, okay, am I eating fruits and veggies? You know, is half my plate filled with fruits and veggies? Are they colorful? I know for me, dementia runs in my family. I lost my dad yeah. to it. And wow. I eat greens every day if I can, because I know mm-hmm. kale and spinach and romaine and collard greens, these dark green leafy veggies are so good mm. for brain health. We have the mm. science to support that. So if I can eat a serving every day, I'm like, check, I'll do that. If I could eat that half a cup of beans every day, check, I'll do it. And so you just start to, you know, build from there. So the colorful fruits and veg, the beans and the chickpeas and the lentils and the whole grains. And then I love seafood. I love omega-3s, good for brain, heart, and eye health. Again, longevity is my jam. And so if you kind of keep it simple and you ignore the noise out there,
yeah.
ignore the critics, because mm-hmm. don't let anyone tell you what to do. We know our bodies. We know what we want to eat, what makes us feel good. Start mm-hmm. there. But it's tough. There is a lot of misinformation out there. There's a lot of disinformation, meaning somebody's mm-hmm. feeding you really bad info because they may be profiting from it and you just don't
totally.
Even realize it. So
yeah.
you have to be an educated consumer and a discerning consumer and just say, is this backed by science? Is this person who's sharing this information credible or do they
Absolutely.
Have an agenda? What
yeah.
are they selling? So
yeah.
you have to really keep an eye on that.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's right. And I mean, it's Nutrition Month, March, right? And it was just Dietitian's mm-hmm. Day. And I'm sure you've answered the question like for everybody over the decades, like what is a what's the difference between a dietitian and a nutritionist, Liz?
Well, a registered dietitian, we're in the U.S., we're called registered dietitian nutritionist, RDN. Okay. And right. It used to be RD, registered dietitian, but we have the nutritionist label as well. And, you know, anybody who's an RD or an RDN has 4 years of undergrad in nutrition and dietetics. This individual has gone to graduate school. Many have done internships. And so you have years of experience. So when you talk about nutrition and diet and how it impacts health, you speak from a place of evidence, of science, and you can back it up. So if somebody says, what do you mean eating dark green leafies is good for brain health? I'll start talking about the mind diet and all the research that backs it up and why greens are the number one food in the mind diet. And then I'm down that rabbit hole and I can give you all the great info on that.
That's awesome.
We could talk every body part today, right?
And totally. So oh, my God. Yeah.
So who is that person you're getting info from? You know, is it an influencer online who has beautiful recipes and they're talking about nutrition, but maybe they don't have any degree in science? You know, take it with a grain of salt.
I think what happens is people get caught up in results and they, you know, take the keto, for example, they see someone who's lost a ton of weight in a short period of time and they look great in their bikini or their yoga tights or whatever. And they're like, ooh, I want that. Here's what I have to, I'm just going to follow this person and do everything they say because I want that result. And it must be fine because they did it. You know what I mean? And, but they don't see all the disadvantages and the health problems that come from that sort of thing that aren't, you know, the camera doesn't show what's happening inside your body. It just shows, your tight butt and your abs and whatever the results were. Right. So like you say, you got to dig a little deeper and sort of check the credentials of these people who are promoting whatever craziness is out there.
Well, and even doctors and chiropractors and other personal trainers, they might have some information, but they can't call themselves a dietitian unless they go through the process of the undergrad and then the internship. And, you know, so it's like there's that we're the only expert that actually has the credentials, and it's frustrating, but I mean, after, you know, decades of being a dietitian, you kind of just roll with the punches and just kind of like, you know, help people that want to be helped and just kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of frustrating. But back to the mind diet, episode 14, we did all about the mind. I just love, we have it, we've had the little, handwritten mind diet, kind of like the 8 components, like on our fridge for the last, I don't know, 6 years or something. And just to remind the family, you know, try to eat more berries and greens and, you know, all that. And I love it. I mean, it simplifies the, and it's evidence-based. That's what I love too, is like they've taken the Mediterranean mixed with the DASH, and then they've actually done research on it in different populations and shown that it can actually reduce the risk of dementia by 7 years, like just lengthen the time from when you start having the symptoms. And I think the mind diet is like, it's mind blowing. I mean, I know it's still new, like evidence, but it's just, I love the way it's simplified, and it's something that's pretty easily achievable by most people. So it's like, instead of having this complicated, you know, algorithm of a diet where people have to count calories and all the other things, this one is just a lot of people can, I talk to my clients about this one all the time. And the biggest roadblock I find is the beans. That's where people or have trouble, you know, they just, it's hard. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's one thing to say eat a cup of greens every day. And, you know, you're like, okay, I could eat a salad every day, a colorful, you know, salad with romaine and other, maybe arugula. Yeah, I can do that. Or eat berries a handful, you know, a couple times a week. Yep, I can do that. But when it comes to eating beans every day, people need ideas, right? And so, you know, I talked about that black bean soup. I add beans to chili all the time. I add beans to tacos. I mean, adding beans is a great way to extend your meat. So if you love tacos with ground beef, you could say, instead of using a pound of ground beef, I'll use half a pound. And then I'll add a can of black beans, drained and rinsed, to kind of extend that beef. So you can make a salad with chickpeas. I have a smashed chickpea salad that I just shared on my my Instagram, and I have it on my blog, and I love it because you smash a can of chickpeas, maybe half the can, and leave half the chickpeas whole, and you add a little bit of light mayo and some apple cider vinegar and some chopped veggies. I use, I think, bell peppers, and you can add some green onion, and you make this kind of a faux chicken salad, if you will. It is so yummy to have this salad on a sandwich, or on top of an avocado, or, you know, on top of a green salad. So it's just really fun to start kind of experimenting and different flavor profiles, right? There's, like I said earlier, so many different types of beans that make their way into so many different ethnic cuisines and many, many millions of different recipes. Just Google it and you'll find plenty of them.
Yeah. It's funny. One of our, we did an episode few weeks back is called, I think it was called Easy Bean Recipes or something like that. And it's by far our most popular episode on our YouTube. It's just people are obviously interested, which is a good sign, you know, and they're, it is the issue though. I mean, we've just sort of started incorporating them a lot more, and it is a little bit challenging until you wrap your head around, like you just said, you can throw them in anything, any sauce, any soup. You know, I've been making hummus a lot. I've been trying different things with beans as the staple instead of a meat. And yeah, it is easy once, but you have to wrap your head around it because, you know, you think back to the 50s where it was a meat and potatoes kind of diet. How do you fit beans into that? And that's where a lot of people are coming from. They grew up with that and they think they need their, like, their three things on the plate, you know, their meat and their potatoes and their little thing of canned peas or whatever the veggies kind of typically were. And you know, the bean part just doesn't fit. So it's a new way of kind of thinking about how to cook and how to prepare food. And I think once people get their heads around that, there's a lot of amazing recipes out there. And we've got a vegan friend and the stuff he makes is unreal. Like I drool at what he makes every day. I'm like, dude, that's so good. I want some. So, yeah.
I can believe it. I can believe it. Yeah, and you know, when if you're not eating any beans, you could say, okay, one day a week, I'm going to have beans at a meal. And a few weeks later, say 2 days a week, I'm going to have beans at one of my meals. And so, you know, in 2 days, like, and just build up, because we do tend, we have this society where it's like, I got to go from 0 to 100 today versus I'm going to take baby steps. And the other thing too, is let's be real. When you start introducing high fiber foods into your diet, half a cup of beans has 6 or 7 grams of fiber. Most people don't eat nearly enough fiber. I'm sure you've talked about that on your podcast. Yeah. If you start saying, I'm going to eat tons of fiber every day, your gut needs a little opportunity to get accustomed to all that fiber. So you want to introduce that slowly.
Yeah.
Or your family won't be wanting to be around you.
Right. It's a good thing. Trust me, it's a good thing. But slow. I always say to my kids, slow and steady wins the race. Mm-hmm. Things do not happen overnight.
We just did an episode on constipation this like 2 days ago.
Oh, I love that topic.
Well, that's what we said, slow and low.
It is a dietitian's favorite topic. We're a strange group of people. What can I say?
Yeah, it's funny.
That's right. The bowels say a lot about someone's health. So, yeah.
Oh, big time. Yep.
Hey, no, one I question for you.
Just one thing. Sorry. I just want to comment that I love that you mentioned work from where you're at. So if you never have had beans, try to just, you know, try it once a week or eat once every 10 days and then, you know, work from there and then just start to, just like drinking more water, the same kind of thing. It's like start from where you're at and just work towards a certain goal. But anyways, sorry, Rob. Yeah.
Oh, that's all good. Just another question about the Blue Zone. There's chocolate and red wine on there, right? How does that kind of fit in nowadays with the concern about alcohol consumption? Is it still kind of like in moderation sort of thing?
Oh, totally. I mean, if you look at the U.S. dietary guidelines, they say that women can safely consume up to one drink a day and men can safely consume up to two drinks a day. Of course, you have to know what a drink is. So if you're having a glass of wine, it's 5 ounces. And when you measure that and you look at it in a glass, you know what that looks like. And of course, we know the challenge when you go out to eat and they keep refilling your glass. And then you're like, wow, I've definitely had more than the USDA recommends. So that upper limit of that one drink a day for women, two for men. But in the Blue Zones and in other areas around the world where alcohol is consumed very responsibly, it's typically consumed with a meal. And so you're not consuming it on an empty stomach. It's part of the dining experience. It's part of that family or community mealtime coming together, big group hug experience. And so it's consumed in moderation and in a very different way versus I'm going to have a bunch of drinks tonight. So when we look at longevity and we look at the science, it has been shown that that responsible, moderate drinking is fine for overall good health and longevity. Certainly if you have an issue with alcohol or a disease state where you're not, it's not recommended to consume alcohol, you certainly don't want to start drinking. But if you're drinking responsibly, it can fit into that overall picture. And then chocolate, a small amount of dark chocolate. Chocolate has flavonoids. These are antioxidants that are good for health, heart health, for example. And so, small amount, a little dark chocolate, totally fits into that healthy diet.
Nice. And the drinking is particular red wine, right? Like specifically red wine.
And I don't think in the Blue Zones they're particular about the type of wine or the type of alcohol. I mean, if you go Okinawa, Japan, they're probably not consuming wine as their alcohol choice. They call it wine at 5, I think, is one of they have in the Blue Zones, they have what they call the Power 9. And these are these 9 lifestyle principles that feed into longevity. Natural movement is one of them. People are very active, but wine at 5 happens to be one of them. And that whole point of coming together with the people you love and having a little glass of wine and having some appetizers and socializing and happy hour, not being lonely, loneliness is very bad for longevity. So these things are all intermingled. They're not, they don't live in isolation, right? They all come together for this big picture of this, how can I live longer and better? It's that big package, if you will.
I'm glad you mentioned that because I'm sure there's people who will listen to this and they'll write down the 8 different foods I have to eat and they'll be starting to eat those and they'll be like, I'm not getting the benefits. What's wrong? But it's like you said, it's the big picture. It's doing all the things. It's the exercise. It's the community. It's the eating together and the healthy eating. And it's all part of a healthy lifestyle.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, that's, and sleep. I mean, sleep and stress and moving, like just moving your body daily. That's all a huge part of just being healthy and preventing disease. And then, I'm sure. And that's part of the Blue Zones too. I mean, a lot of them live on different cliffs, not cliffs, but they
hilly
live
areas.
On
very hilly, areas. Hilly. Yes.
Mountain towns.
That's right. Yeah, it helps. So
it helps with walking and having to, walk up hills and downhills and to get to your neighbors to say hi to your friends and to get groceries. Like that all is part of it. It's different than jumping in your car and, going to the gym. And
going to the gym, that's good. Even having stand-up desk. Like my husband has a stand-up desk and then I got a stand-up desk. And that way when you're working, you're not standing up all day, you take breaks. But when you stand up, you're moving, you're fidgeting and you're burning calories and you're being active when you're standing up. So that's another, these are like little strategies that we here in our modern world, because we don't live in Sardinia, can add to our day.
Does the Blue Zone site, or maybe you've covered this on your own website, but how to adapt sort of the Blue Zone lifestyle into sort of our North American culture? Is there tips for how to do that?
Exactly. You know, what they have, though, what's so interesting is the Blue Zones have what they call Blue Zone communities around the U.S., where the Blue Zone organization works with different towns and cities and with their state and local governments, and they create Blue Zone communities. They clean up their school lunch program with healthier foods. They put in walking paths. They start to do things that help people achieve the Blue Zone lifestyle. They measure it. They weigh people. They take their blood pressure. They check their cholesterol. And over time, they evaluate and see how are people doing. And they probably, and I'm guessing here because I don't have the info in front of me, but they have community meals and they work on activities in those communities to start bringing people together. Because as I said, being lonely is very bad for longevity. We want to be with each other. We're just designed. We're programmed to be with each other. And so, I would probably guess that on their website, they have lots of tips for how can implement those tenets into your life.
Nice. Right on.
I love that. Oh my gosh. That's really interesting. I didn't realize there's actually Blue Zone communities where they can help with local governments and cities and parks and rec. I would think that's an area they would
schools. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, amazing. I love to hear
it's
that.
It's pretty cool. It's cool stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Cause it's like any way to kind of get elevate the message of, you know, health and eating well and lifestyle can impact your long-term health. I think that's really important. I do the grocery tours locally, or like nutrition tours with all ages, like with the school children and with the high school, and then with different groups like people with heart disease or diabetes. And it's great because just the whole idea of like looking at the labels and just, you know, we spend a lot of time in the produce section, just looking at all the colorful fruits and vegetables and what, ask the kids, like, what do you put in your smoothies? And they get so excited and it's such a great interaction. Mm. And yeah, it's just a way to, you know, raise the awareness that what we eat can really impact our overall health and how we feel and our mood, and like just so much, you know, like how nutrition is. It's just such a big part of, you know, how we live. And I think people forget, or they don't make the connection that food is actually can impact your health. So the talking to you today has been really incredible because just, you know, linking it to longevity and the Blue Zones and, you know, eating more beans and all these different tenets that are so important to, for people to just think about in their own daily living and their, you know, with their family and their friends, and how to be able to just use these ideas to maybe improve our overall health and our overall feeling of like better. Like we feel like we can have some control in our destiny. You know, I think that's part of it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. I was talking to my son recently. He's 25 and he's a teacher. So he's exposed to germs, you know, with these kids all the time. Mm-hmm. And I say, have you been feeling? He goes, you know, I'm actually feeling really healthy. I said, what are you doing? He says, I'm getting lots of sleep. I'm exercising more and I'm eating really well. And he always was a big veggie lover. And I thought, oh my gosh, I've done my job. Hooray.
Totally.
It's like he's 25. Something clicks in the boy brain at 25. He's like, he gets it. It's a beautiful thing.
I love it. That is so awesome.
And it's good that he recognizes it too. You know, that's huge that it's not, you know, the monster drink he's having on the way to school that's doing it. That he's eating vegetables and getting a good sleep and exercising. It's good to recognize. Did you have any more questions, Sandra?
Do I have any other questions?
Right.
Well, we do ask all of our guests at the end of the interview, when you're going to a family or a friend's potluck, what dish would you bring to share?
Okay.
Yeah, which
I knew
one
you were
going
to ask me this question. So it obviously has to be something with lots of vegetables.
It doesn't have to be. It can be cookies if you want.
For Liz Wise. For Liz Wise.
Okay.
On the longevity show. It's got to include veggies and lentils or beans or something like that. So I have a lentil and veggie salad. And the reason I'm sharing this recipe is because it incorporates a lot of the ingredients we were talking about today. Mm. And it feeds a crowd. And we want to have a crowd around us, right? We want to eat with other people.
Absolutely.
So to make the this recipe, and I'll share it with you and you can put it up on your website, you'll need a cup of uncooked green or brown lentils. And I will say that if you find lentils pre-cooked, use those. And so that cup of uncooked, I have to check this. I think it yields 3 cups, but let me double check that and I'll update the recipe for you and make sure I provide that info on the copy that goes on your website. But you're going to cook those lentils and then you're going to build your salad with lentils and asparagus. And I like to cut it into like 1-inch pieces. And then you can just quickly steam for a few minutes the asparagus. So it's just a little bit, you know, crisp tender. And you're also going to add some cooked rice. You can use white rice or brown rice. I actually use white rice in this because there's so much fiber from the lentils and the veggies. And I'm a little bit lazy when it comes to cooking, and I like to buy the frozen rice. It comes in little bags at Trader Joe's, since that's my grocery store. And so I use rice, but any kind is fine. And so we've got the lentils that we cook. We have the asparagus that we steam. We have the cooked rice. I like to add a couple stalks of celery, and I slice it thin. I love the crunch. I add some frozen peas or fresh peas, and marinated artichoke hearts. You can just buy those in a jar and then just drain them and chop them up. Great flavor. Mm-hmm. A couple of green onions. We just slice those up. Some fresh parsley and fresh mint. So it's really like bright flavored. You can add some feta cheese. That's optional because you can keep it vegan or add the cheese, make it vegetarian. And then I'd like to make a vinaigrette. You could buy this store-bought, but I love making homemade vinaigrette. It's so easy. You just get like a little mason jar with a lid, and I just add some olive oil and lemon juice, Dijon mustard, a little bit of minced garlic, drizzle of honey or maple syrup, and some kosher salt and black pepper, and I shake it all up. So I have this nice vinaigrette. I drizzle that over the salad. I toss it all together, and you have this most delicious, bright, colorful, crunchy, yummy salad with those lentils for all that fiber. And it's the best. It's just the best recipe.
And colorful, it feeds an army by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
It feeds an army. And, you know, you could serve it as a side dish, or you could add some grilled shrimp to it, or you could swap out the lentils for chickpeas. You know, there's like many different riffs on this recipe.
Yeah, yeah.
If you don't like peas, leave them out. You want to add some nuts, add them in. It's just like anything goes.
Do people jump all over that? Like we were saying before, people don't know what to do with beans. Are they like, when they see that dish, are they, oh my God, this is amazing, I'm going to have a second plate of it? Or are they kind of...
Well, no, it's delish. People will be like, oh my gosh, this is so good. And remember, lentils, when you cook lentils, they're tiny, right? And they cook mm-hmm. them pretty quickly. You'd be surprised. And people think lentils, they're going to take forever to cook. Mm-mm. You just rinse them off and you put them in with some water, bring it to a boil, and they cook up in, you know, 15, 20, 25 minutes.
Yeah. Nice.
And so just follow package directions is what I always tell people, because there's different kinds of lentils and they take different varying amount of time, but you don't want to overcook them because then they're mushy. You still want them to have, you know, hold their shape. And the lentils, which are so nutrient rich and, you know, they're grown sustainably. I know we touched on sustainability before, very affordable. And so they're so tiny and they just add like a fun little crunchy, slightly crunch, you know, in terms of the texture, as long as you don't overcook them. So no, people love it. And I add the feta because I'm a feta girl. I always say everything's better with feta.
Absolutely.
Everything's better with feta.
You
and with my New York accent, since I grew up there, I can say that. Everything's feta with feta. And it's a good one. It's a good one.
That's amazing.
I love it. We have all like those ingredients too. Sorry, I'm just looking. I was thinking, oh my gosh, I think I want to make that. And I just made lentil soup this morning for lunch. But This sounds like such a good addition to maybe dinner tonight, or I'm not sure, but we have all of those things except for the asparagus, even though we have to go grocery shopping because, you know, someone in the family said, there's no food. We have to go grocery shopping.
Teenager.
But we have all these other things. Like, you know, we got the celery and the frozen peas and the artichokes and the lentils, like, oh my gosh, that's awesome. And then parsley in the garden there and mint. So, oh, love it. That just sounds so delicious and so good for us too. I mean,
it's a good one. I love it as a side salad, you know, for having salmon. You know, my husband grills salmon all the time. And this makes a nice side. You could cut this recipe in half, make half a recipe. Like, I'm an empty nester, right? And my boys are grown. And so when I make this, it's like, whoa, this is a lot for two people. So unless we're having friends over for dinner, I might make half of a recipe. And I, by the way, love what you were saying before about going to the grocery store. When my boys were in high school and college, you know, they come home and I'd make dinner. And then, you know what they would say right after dinner? They'd say, what's for dinner? Like, that was the appetizer.
Yeah,
I'm like, boys, like, I can't keep up here. You know, it's like you're constantly hungry, right?
Hungry. Yeah, yeah.
What's for dinner? Oh, gosh. You just ate dinner.
Oh, that's funny.
That's awesome. It's so true. What's for dinner? That's the big question so many parents have to deal with every day.
Oh, never ends, right?
Yeah. And this is great because we're going to point people that are listening to your website, and you have that recipe plus so many more. Like, oh my gosh, I love your podcast because you talk about the recipes. Like, you talk about the information, the science, the evidence about whatever topic it is, and then you incorporate the recipe, and you always make it sound so like, oh my God, I'm always thinking I gotta go and like write this down, or like I'm gonna make this recipe. It sounds delicious. So I love your resources that you have on your website, and it's great. Thank you.
And I did forget to mention earlier, I have I'm a graduate of the Cambridge School of Culinary Arts outside of Boston. So I have a degree in the culinary arts, and I'm a dietitian. And my mom was a home ec teacher. She was a home economist when I was a little one. And so I hung out with her in the kitchen growing up and loved to cook. So I've always been a foodie from before the term foodie was even coined. And so rest assured, my recipes work because I test them. I'm also a Virgo, which means I'm a little bit neurotic, perhaps is the word. I don't know.
Specific. But particular.
And a dietitian. So I test things over and over. Yes, very, very particular. Yes.
There you go. Yeah, your credentials just got assured there.
That's right. And food is the language of nutrition. I love that quote because it's so true. I think we hear so much about nutrition. Like, it's such a, it's like a trending topic and that everyone's an expert now. And the thing is, nutrition, it's about what we eat. Like, we don't buy calories off the shelf. We don't buy macronutrients off the shelf. We go and get food. And so we got to learn how to like figure out how to deal with food, because I think a lot of, I know I have clients that they just want to talk about calories and macronutrients. And it's like, you know what? Let's talk about food. Let's talk about your meals, your snacks, how to like balance your plate. You know, that is how we eat. We don't eat like supplements, and we don't eat like nutrition. It just drives me crazy. So anyways, I'm glad that you're such a resource with all your recipes and information and ways to incorporate more flavor and goodness into our meals and snacks so that we can incorporate more beans and lentils and pulses and legumes and chickpeas and all that, like, because that's it's a great addition for our, you know, daily diet, is to get more beans in. So yes, I'm so happy that you talked to us today and gave us some great tips and some good information on how to get more beans in. All right, well, thank you so much, Liz. And Rob, do you have any other questions?
I don't have any questions. I think we're good. I think I want to go hit the kitchen up and make some yummy food.
I think I'll do the same.
I've been hungry for the last hour here, listening to this and all the things that you've been talking about. So yeah, I appreciate you joining us today, Liz. Is there somewhere people can get a hold of you? You've got your website. You said you're on Instagram and.
Yeah, sure. My website is lizshealthytable.com. You can find me on Instagram at Liz Weiss, LizWeiss. And I'm also on TikTok at Nutrition by Liz. But if you go to my website, you can see all the little social media icons up there on the top and at the bottom of the page, and click through and visit me on social. And I have a newsletter. You can subscribe. So hopefully people will stop by and say hi.
I'm sure they will. That's amazing. Yeah, we'll definitely put that those links in the show notes and send people your way for those amazing recipes and information on the Blue Zones and all those things we talked about today.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I really appreciate you joining us today. And we will talk to you again soon.
I hope so.
Well, that was a lively and informative discussion with Liz.
Absolutely. Yeah, she was a lot of fun to talk to.
Yeah, all about the Blue Zones, longevity foods, and we even touched on the MIND diet to help prevent dementia.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny, I kept confusing the Mediterranean diet with the Blue Zone diets, and partly because a couple of the Blue Zones are in the Mediterranean, but I don't think that all of the Blue Zones necessarily are like the Mediterranean diet. There's a few things that are similar, but that's why I asked about red wine and chocolate, because that's a Mediterranean diet thing, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that actually is what they studied in the MIND diet.
Right. Yeah. That too. Yeah. But really cool information. I liked how she was explaining at the end there, how there's whoever they are, the Blue Zone people, I guess, are helping create Blue Zone communities around the country. Yeah, that's kind of neat. It'd be fun to look into that.
Yeah, and like working with different levels of government and municipalities. And I just think that's a great idea, just to get a more age-friendly environment for people to live healthy and well into their golden years, as the term goes. But it could be for optimum health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that more and more we're hearing that, you know, aging doesn't mean that you're broken, that you're falling apart, that you're going downhill. Like, you can still be going strong well into your 80s, 90s, and older, like some of these people in the Blue Zone. So the proof is out there.
Yeah, it's exciting.
It is exciting. Yeah.
So people can refer to the blog that Liz wrote on our website, and it's called Longevity Foods. And also she has her website, Liz's Healthy Table. Mm-hmm. And she mentioned that and all of the places on social media that she is. So we'll have links in the show notes for how to connect with Liz and how to get more information on what she does and all of her awesome recipes.
I was going to say, yeah. I'm going to check out those recipes. That's a reason to, that's like the carrot she's dangling for everyone. She teases us by telling us a few, and then you got to go to the website to find out all the goodies.
Yeah. Well, if people, you know, we taking a page from the Blue Zones, if we all eat half a cup of beans, legumes, lentils, pulses, chickpeas, all those types of different beans, half a cup a day, that is going to set you ahead in terms of your health, in terms of food that's plant-based protein that is high in fiber and gives you all those important vitamins and minerals and phytochemicals.
Mm-hmm. And hummus counts. Hummus is made with the chickpeas. So having half a cup's worth of hummus or chickpeas isn't really that much. So that's something that's totally doable. I was also saying to Sandra as we were eating dinner, I would eat chickpeas more often if they were just ready to go in the fridge. So if you open a can of chickpeas, or any beans for that matter, drain them and just store them in your little Tupperware thing, I guess, with a lid on it. They're ready to go. You can add them to your salads. You can add them to your sauces at dinner. Use them however you want. And they're just there. I think that's one of the reasons people maybe don't use them as much, because it's a process. You have to open the can and rinse them and process them and all that. But they're in the fridge ready to go. Easy peasy.
And ironically, Rob was saying this as we were eating this chickpea curry soup that I just made today. And we were eating chickpeas and he said, oh, they're so delicious. I'd eat more of these if they were readily in the fridge.
Well, that's what made me think of it. Yeah, they are tasty. Awesome. Well, like Sandra said, check out Liz's article. It's on our blog now. It's all about everything we discussed in today's episode. So check that out. And while you're there, join our newsletter. Sign up for that. It's on the same page. Well, it's on every page. There's a sign up button on every page of our website. So our newsletter is a weekly newsletter. We give you updates on what we've been doing, a bunch of different links to different cool things, some different tips, and yeah, just a bunch of stuff that we throw at you once a week. So sign up for that while you're there reading Liz's blog post. You can also visit us on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. We've got things happening there quite often, so be sure to visit us there as well. You can also comment in any of those places. We love hearing what you have to say, hearing some feedback, letting us know if we're on the right track or not, letting us know what you want to hear, that sort of thing. You can also email us if you have questions or comments, or if you just want to say hi, that's cool. Our email is mywifetherd@gmail.com. And the website is mywifethedietitian.com.
And we really appreciate that you're spending your valuable time with us in your ear. And if you want to tell one friend, a family member, a colleague, or coworker, that would be really helpful to spread the word about the information that you're hearing on this show.
Exactly. And don't forget to rate and review the show. We always appreciate that too. So we will be back on Wednesday with Nutrition Nuggets and then back again next week with a full episode. We've got Tara Rude. We're talking next week about diabetes.
Yeah, we're talking to Tara Rude, dietitian. She's a certified diabetes educator specialist, and she has all the information about what type of foods, meals, and snacks to eat when you have diabetes.
Exactly. So that will be next Monday. So until then, have a great week, everyone. Thanks for joining us today on My Wife the Dietitian. If you like what you heard, don't be shy. Leave us a comment or review and be sure to share our podcast with your friends. If you'd like to hear more, hit that subscribe button. You can also follow us on our social media pages for updates, episode trailers, and other odds and ends. For more info and links on what we discussed on today's episode, check the show notes. We'll be back next week with another informative and fun-filled episode. Thank you.